Our United Healthcare Community and State Newsletter is your go-to source for the latest Medicaid news and United Healthcare programs serving Medicaid beneficiaries. Subscribe now by visiting our website at uhccs.com/newsletter. Stay in the know by gaining access to our latest blogs, educational videos, and upcoming events. At United Healthcare, our mission is to help people live healthier lives and make the health system work better for everyone in local communities across the U.S.
Hello, and welcome to Research and Justice for All, a podcast series from Health Affairs sponsored by CVS Health. I'm your co-host, Dr. Jonae Khaldun, Chief Health Equity Officer at CVS Health.
And I'm co-host Dr. Sri Chagaturu, Chief Medical Officer at CVS Health.
So I'm really excited about today's show. We're going to be talking about disparities in maternal health outcomes. We know there are significant disparities in that area, and we will be talking to Dr. Mary Ann Etiebet about what Merck is doing to address those disparities, and specifically the Merck for Mothers initiative. Mary Ann is the Assistant Vice President for Health Equity at Merck and leads the Merck for Mothers initiative. I'll tell you, Sri, this is a very important topic to me. When I actually gave birth to my son several years ago, I had preventable complications and nearly lost my life. So I've certainly experienced firsthand the disparities that we're talking about today. This is also something that we're focusing on at CVS Health, partnering with local organizations and ensuring women have appropriate access to services. So I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Jonae, thank you so much for sharing your own personal experience in our interview. Mary Ann also shares her own personal experience, and this is unfortunately all too common. Rates of severe maternal morbidity has been increasing among all women, but when we look at women of Black, Hispanic, and Asian communities, they are consistently higher compared to white women.
That's right, Sri. It's just the harsh reality and why this is such a critical conversation. So let's jump right in. Here's our interview with Dr. Mary Ann Etiebet. Welcome, Mary Ann, and thank you so much for joining us on the Research and Justice for All podcast.
Thank you so much for the invitation, and I'm so excited we're having this conversation.
Yes, Sri and I are really looking forward to our conversation. We're going to be talking about a really important topic today, something that you're an expert in, and that is maternal health, and specifically maternal health disparities. So let's jump right in. We like to start every interview asking our guests one question. And so that is, as you think about health equity, why is this work important to you personally?
Thank you for the question, Jonae. You know, I do this work because I believe everybody should have a fair and equal chance, not just to live their healthiest lives, but to realize their fullest potential. And that's irrespective of the circumstances of your birth, your sex, your race, your ethnicity, your religion, your place of birth. And I continue to do this work because to not do it means that we are losing lives, and we're losing the lives of loved ones. And this is personal. About 30 years ago, my sister-in-law, in the advanced stages of her second pregnancy, walked into a Brooklyn hospital with her husband, but she didn't walk out. And to this day, my husband continues to ask me, is there something that he or the family could have done differently to save her life? And that should not be a question a family member, a patient, or a loved one should have to ask. The burden of saving our mothers' lives should not be placed on patients and their families. Our health system should be able to deliver for them. And you know what the tragedy of the situation is, Jonae? You know, the daughter that she left behind now has an even greater chance of dying due to preventable causes during pregnancy and childbirth than her mother did a generation ago. And that same daughter in New York City is 8 to 12 times more likely to die during childbirth and pregnancy than the white friends that she went to school with. And that should not be anybody's reality.
Wow, wow. I'm so sorry to hear about the story of your family. And thank you for sharing those statistics. This is real. These are people's lives. And to your point, these are preventable deaths. So thank you for sharing that.
Unfortunately, this is all too common in the country. And as we've seen most recently with data from the Centers for Disease Control, that these rates of maternal mortality have continued to rise for all races and ethnicities. But the rate has been staggering and alarming among Black women. And as you mentioned, Black women are much more likely to die from a pregnancy-related complication in the United States compared to other women. And when we look at our mortality rate as a country, we have a maternal mortality rate that's worse than what we see in Russia. I was wondering if you could just, as you've committed your career to understanding this and addressing maternal mortality, health equity. Could you tell us a little bit more about why this disparity exists, one, for us as a country compared to other countries, but more specifically, how we're seeing that mortality rate differing among communities in America?
Thank you for the question, Sri. And, you know, you mentioned this has been a lifelong commitment of mine, and I am really honored and privileged now to be able to do this work in my current role at Merck. You know, back in 2011, our company made a $500 million commitment to helping end maternal mortality. And in 2021, reaffirmed that commitment with another $150 million to support efforts, not just in the United States, but around the world to help close this disparity gap. And this, you know, decade-long experience we've had doing this work, it really gives us, I think, a greater level of insight into what's happening at the front lines through all of the efforts of our partners and collaborators. You know, what I would say, and I'm sure you've discussed this on your podcast before, you know, that 80-20 rule, that actually 80% of the health outcomes that we see, including those in maternal health, are actually due to factors outside of the health system. Yeah, they're due to those social determinants of health. And so I think that as we look forward to actually closing the gap on disparities, we have to recognize that this has to be an all-hands-on-board approach and can't just be limited to the health sector or the healthcare ecosystem. You know, we've seen data from hospitals in New York City where women who are walking into hospitals, you know, with the same risk factors, a Black woman versus a white woman, the Black woman is less likely to survive. And so I think that tells you a little bit about, you know, what's that delta? And I think what we have learned is that the delta really is due to systemic racism. You know, systemic racism is a healthcare crisis, public health crisis, but it's also a modifiable risk factor. And so the work that we have to do has to address the impacts and the manifestations of racism on our healthcare ecosystem.
Marianne, thank you for framing the issue. And so you talked about systemic racism driving maternal mortality rates. I was wondering if you could just dive a little bit deeper into that. How is that actually manifesting itself? Do you have some examples to bring this unfortunate fact to life?
I think at its basic level, and this is what our partners and collaborators tell us, is that the healthcare system, healthcare providers are not listening to Black women when they say they're having a sign or symptom of a complication. They are not being trusted, and the response system is not activated when Black women are raising concerns about their health or the well-being of their pregnancy. I think we also see it in terms of access and where there may be birthing deserts and not any facilities for, you know, any high-quality facilities in the area. We see this a lot in the rural areas of our country. I think the other way it gets manifested is also as we think about transportation and access to transportation to care, whether people are able to have childcare so that they can go to the doctors and get their follow-ups and checkups. So these are just, you know, some of the ways that we're seeing it manifest. And I always think about, we need to be able to walk in the shoes of the people that we are serving and understand the barriers that they face from the time they wake up in the morning till the time they get to that doctor's office. You know, in medicine, you know, we have this term harm reduction. We need to also think about what we can do for barrier reduction. And that is, you know, part of all of the efforts we have to make in order to improve the health of everyone and reduce healthcare disparities.
You know, thank you for bringing that up and the role, particularly of the healthcare system and providers. Can you tell us what exactly should doctors, nurses, other clinical providers who may be listening right now and not wanting to perpetuate these disparities, what should they be doing or doing differently, or what should the healthcare system and hospitals be doing differently?
Again, I think at the very basic level, they should be listening to their patients. And they should be engaging in a relationship of trust and mutual respect. I think as we think about what programs and solutions we as a society need to put in place, and these are many of the things that Merck for Mothers partners and collaborators are doing, we need to make sure that all physicians and the whole ancillary team that's taking care of women understand what the warning signs are and can be mobilized at a moment, you know, to respond to those emergencies, those obstetric emergencies. You know, one of the other things that I think is really important for our listeners to understand is that the data is telling us, and this is some of the data that has come out of partnerships that Merck for Mothers has had with the CDC, that more deaths are actually happening now outside of the hospital after birthing moms have been discharged. And so it's important that at that discharge point, there is an exchange of information, and women and their families are educated about what the warning signs are and when, you know, they should call 911 or when they should call their provider. So that's work that, you know, we have been doing with our collaborators. But I think most importantly is we need to make sure that there are community supports and structures that are taking care of women in the community, that are screening and asking them questions about, you know, potential adverse events or other health conditions that may arise, like mental health conditions, and that we have that community workforce that is not only mobilized, but that is integrated with the healthcare workforce that we see in the traditional four walls of the hospital, and that there's communication and coordination between that. You know, you asked that question, I think as a provider, and, you know, I'm a no longer practice, but we as providers need to meet our patients where they are. And that's both literally and figuratively, and take that extra step to ask that question and meet patients where they are.
You know, I love this theme of the workforce, right? And what the workforce, the healthcare workforce needs to do. What do you think the role is of workforce diversity when it comes to these disparities? And also, can you touch on, when you talk about community supports, the role of doulas in advancing maternal health improved outcomes?
So, Janae, we talked earlier about how important trust is, and I don't think we can underestimate the impact of previous trauma, whether it's personal trauma or family trauma, that informs, you know, how people engage with our healthcare system. And so the community workforce is critical. And the community workforce that understands the lived experiences of the clients that they're serving is going to be a more effective partner in the healthcare journey. And so what we've been doing at Merck for Mothers through one of our most recent health initiatives called the Safer Childbirth Cities is supporting coalitions of organizations, many of these led by women of color with lived experiences to work on solutions, you know, that are coming out of the community. I think the other thing we found is, you know, this work, you know, has been happening over decades. Communities have been taking care of themselves. There are assets and strengths in the communities that we know nothing about. Our role is to help surface them, elevate them, amplify them, and support them. And doulas are just, you know, one example of a critical community healthcare, you know, healthcare partner. I want to share one story. We were able to visit the client of one of our partners in Philadelphia. This was a woman who had a doula support her throughout her pregnancy, who served as not just a coach, but an advocate for her when she was interfacing and engaging with the healthcare system. And as we left that woman's home, you know, I kind of asked her, I was like, you know, what's next? You know, what's next for you? And, you know, she poked her head out the door and shyly said, you know, I want to be a doula. You know, I had such an amazing experience with my doula. She helped me so much. I want to be able to give that back to my community. And so I think from these types of examples, we can see what the ripple effect of investing in people is. And, you know, again, how do we build up community assets and strengths? And how do we, as a private sector company, you know, be part of that movement?
Marianne, you mentioned about this visit that you've had, and what a powerful story about your an individual's lived experience informing their future trajectory. But I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about Merck as an organization, and then more about Merck for Mothers in particular, which is an important initiative the organization has to advance maternal mortality equity. So let me just turn it back over to you to tell us a little bit more.
I love talking about Merck for Mothers. As I said, I'm so honored, you know, to be able to lead the team in this work. Merck, as you know, you may know, is, you know, one of the leading pharmaceutical companies in the country. And I think we have decades legacy, you know, of running towards the world's most challenging health problems, and maternal mortality is no different. If you look at our history, you'll see that there have been commitments to health equity across the decades, whether it's our Mectizan donation program, where we've committed to ensuring that the solution for river blindness will be available for as long as it's needed at no cost. Merck for Mothers was created back in 2011 when we saw, our leadership at the time saw that the maternal mortality rates, as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, were actually going in the wrong direction in the United States. And as one of the richest countries, if not the richest country in the world, that should not be the case. And so could a private sector partner bring something different to the table that had been missing thus far? And thus, you know, Merck for Mothers was born. I mentioned, you know, we've committed $650 million to this cause since 2011. We have had partnerships in over 65 countries. We have four focus countries. The United States is one of them, because as we've talked about, the alarming increase that we're seeing in the rates, as well as the alarming increases in the disparities. And, you know, how we work is to partner with the folks that are doing the hard work on the front lines. One of the things that we started off doing was making sure that there was the data that would not only tell us what the problem was and where the problem existed, but what the impactful solutions would be. And we're proud that that initial investment in the data is what is really driving everyone to action. Because when you see those numbers in your face, upfront and stark, you can't ignore them. And the fact that we are now not just counting every death, but investigating it and making sure that they are efforts to prevent that next death is something that was not the norm in every state of this country 11 years ago. The other way we partner is to improve the quality of care in facilities. Sri, I've heard you talk before about responding to a cardiac code. And, you know, as medical students and residents and trainees, you know, we do those practices, you know, every week. It becomes ingrained in how we, you know, respond, you know, to a cardiac code. That should be the same for an obstetric emergency. Teams should be mobilized immediately and know how to respond and work together for that. And so some of the investments we've made over the years has been to develop and implement these safety bundles and make sure that they are scaled throughout hospitals in the country. And we're really proud that, you know, through partnerships, we are getting to goal for that objective. The other way we partner, you've heard the saying, knowledge is power, is making sure that this information gets out to everybody who needs it, birthing people and their families, so that they know what questions to ask and they can hold their providers accountable. And then the last way we partner is to support community-based solutions like the Safer Childbirth Cities Initiative that I mentioned.
I love that. So data and collecting that data so we know where we are, driving improvements in the quality of care, knowledge sharing, supporting communities and community-based care. I think those four pillars, if I have them right, are just incredibly powerful pillars to drive this important work forward. And I'm wondering if you have a couple of successes that you're incredibly proud of that you've seen with your partners, or some particular innovations that you're really excited about that are coming down the pike that could help us in addressing this important issue.
You know, for me, the thing that actually makes me proudest is the way that we are changing norms in the healthcare system. I think when I started this work, it was not the norm or it was not the expectation that people with lived experiences or people in the communities would be part of the maternal mortality review committees that are happening at the state or at the hospital level. Very proud that we are able to support community serving organizations that are led by people with lived experiences. But, you know, you ask a tough question, Sri, and this is a question that, you know, our team constantly asked ourselves is, are we moving the needle with our work? And, you know, you will know that sometimes it takes a while, you know, to see population health impact, for many of these conditions, including maternal health outcomes. So what's the data that we can look at that are leading indicators that we are moving the needle? And I think when we look at things like, all of the hospitals that are now implementing safety bundles. And we've seen that states that have done that, whether it's California, New York, or now New Jersey, we do see, their state level statistics improve. So those are, you know, some of the things that we're proud of.
Marianne, you mentioned safety bundles as an important driver. I wonder if for our listeners, if you could talk a little bit more about what is a safety bundle and how does that improve care?
Great, great question. You know, a safety bundle is a combination of interventions and processes and practices that provide the highest quality care in response to an obstetric emergency. So for example, if a woman is bleeding and reports, you know, that she is bleeding and she's bleeding more than usual, immediately the care team should be mobilized to respond to that. This is something that hospitals are holding their teams accountable for. When we hear, you know, some of these high profile deaths that are happening, you know, again, the lesion has been that teams are not responding and mobilizing quickly and effectively to the complaints, to the complaints of patients. So, you know, that's important. It's important that teams practice that response, you know, because if it doesn't happen very often, you know, we know that practice makes perfect, and every second, every minute counts. We have supported the development and implementation of safety bundles for, you know, the top, you know, the top killers, you know, of birthing mothers. So whether that be postpartum hemorrhage, preeclampsia, eclampsia, pulmonary embolism. But, you know, what's really interesting, Sri, as we've done this work is, you know, when we first started it, you know, we brought all the experts around the table, you know, and unfortunately at that time, people's imagining of experts were, you know, the subject matter experts, the clinicians, you know, the folks with the fancy degrees. As we've done that work, we've realized that context experts need to be included in how safety bundles are developed. And safety bundles should include inputs of patients who have had those lived experiences. And actually, we should have safety bundles that include things that are happening in the communities and that integrate, you know, anti-racist practices and processes, you know, as part of that safety bundle. So the safety bundles continue to evolve as we continue to push for a more inclusive, you know, more inclusive practices and processes, you know, to solve for these consistent and persistent and pervasive challenges.
You know, I love that, Marianne. You're really talking about changing a system of care, right? Changing our system, making sure the community has input into what that system looks like. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about the global work that you do. As we've already noted, it's not because the United States doesn't have enough resources and money or fancy degrees, to your point. That's not the cause for the disparities that we see. Can you tell us a little bit more about the differences in how the United States healthcare system addresses maternal health compared to some other countries? And then are there specific policies that you think would potentially help us move the needle here in the United States when it comes to maternal health disparities?
So I'd like to answer that question in at least three parts. You know, one is to be able to share, you know, some of the similarities of the challenges. You know, we talked earlier about the social determinants of health. If a woman cannot get to a high quality facility in time, that's a risk. You know, in New York City, that may be a MetroCard. In Nigeria, the land of my birth, that may be building a road, you know, or finding a boat. So, you know, the solutions are different, but really the problems and the challenges come from the same root. You know, I think the other thing I would say about our global work, and it was really interesting to see a really seminal UNFPA report being released a couple of weeks ago that saw the impact of systemic racism across the Americas. And so when we think about our global work, the inequities that we see both between countries are actually the same types of inequities that are that we see reflected within countries. And a lot of that, the root is, you know, in the legacy of slavery, in the legacy of colonialism. And that is some of the work also that Merck for Mothers is trying to do. We want to think about how we can be a different type of partner, you know, not just think of ourselves as philanthropy, as funders, but actually think of ourselves as investors and co-creators, co-solution makers, you know, co-wafers. Because at the end of the day, and this is something, you know, we talk about as a team every day, if the impact of the work that we do, the work that we partner around, the support that we give is not sustained after we, you know, the project or the program is finished, that was for naught. And to your point, we didn't help catalyze, you know, the transformation, you know, of the system so that it can continue to deliver for women.
Thank you so much for that. And also for pointing out how important it is to get very local when it comes to understanding the challenges and then also developing the solutions. So thank you so much, Marianne, for joining us on our podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Marianne. It really was a pleasure.
That was such a great conversation. It's really impressive how much Marianne and her team have really focused on addressing maternal health disparities, not just in the United States, but really across the globe. And I really appreciate the fact that she talked about the importance of including people with lived experience and really addressing those systems of care and listening to a woman and making sure that their stories and their needs are really incorporated into the care that they receive.
Absolutely. And when Marianne talked about Merck for Mothers and their four pillars for work, it was incredibly practical and helped advance the cause of improving maternal mortality equity. And she talked about the role of data, improving quality of care, with a real deep dive into safety bundles, which I found very helpful, knowledge sharing, and supporting communities. And those four pillars really are driving the success of the initiatives.
That's right. Such an important conversation. That is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining us on the Research and Justice for All podcast, sponsored by CVS Health. I'm Dr. Jonae Khaldoun.
And I'm Dr. Sheree Chagaturu.
So please share this podcast with anyone you know who's working to advance health equity. And don't forget to subscribe to the Research and Justice for All podcast if you haven't already. Thank you for listening.
Until next time, take care, everyone.
Research and Justice for All is produced by Health Affairs. This season is sponsored by CVS Health. If you enjoyed this episode, the best thing you could do is share it with a friend or a colleague. It helps people find the show. Thanks for listening, and be sure to check out Health Affairs' other podcasts, A Health Policy and Health Affairs This Week. Health Affairs, where health policy advances.